Jesus, are our living hope. We thank you for all that you've done for us and for your word that you've given to us so freely so that we could know more and grow closer to you. Thank you for all that you've done for us, your life, your death, and your resurrection. And then you're pouring out your spirit and filling us as your people with your Holy Spirit. Help us to live and walk worthy of that incredible call that we've been given. We pray this together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, everyone. That was incredible. And I've got to tell you, you come here and you expect the music to be great, and it always is, but it's not always so easy. They had some real challenges this morning with sound and technology and everything, but you know what? The bottom line is that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, was there, and we worshiped him together. So I'm so grateful to you as a worship team. And Jared's right there. Jared, raise your hand. He does it all. I heard the singing. I heard the voice. And I was like, Josh is not singing. And then I look, and it's you. And then you're on the guitar. And then you're on the bass, cello. And I'm like, my gosh, thank you so much, Jared. Thank you so much, worship team. We're excited you're here this morning. I wanted to let you know a couple of things. It's a little sad, but it's actually exciting. Chris Rose, who runs our soundboard for us, this is his last Sunday with us. He's moving back to Mississippi with his parents. So Chris, right back there, raise your hand. Chris, give him a hand. Appreciate it. He's been doing this for about a year for us, and we really appreciate it, Chris. And also, I've got to say, John and Amy, they have moved out by Joe Pool Lake last Sunday. And John and Amy has been a tremendous blessing in the worship team. And John in our children's ministry and just John being around. I mean, he's just so much fun. And their third child there, and we're really excited. So someone's going to get to dedicate that baby, right? Awesome. Well, we're excited. Give the Hicksons a hand on their last Sunday. So anyway, I'm excited that you're here this morning. If you'd like to, we're going to continue our study in John chapter 17, and we've got a really nice study guide here that you can pick up on your way out if you'd like to go a little deeper in the scriptures and do some of your own personal study. But we're going to jump into John 17 today, and the Gospel of John, it's the first time I've really done something like teaching a whole gospel. And I've been going through the entire thing. This is week 17. Now, last week, I was at a family wedding in South Carolina. And then I did spend a little time in Myrtle Beach playing You Know What. Okay? But Tyler taught from John 16, and I listened to the sermon. He focused on Christ wanting us to have confidence in the fact that he has overcome the world. Thank you, Tyler. I don't know if he's in the room this service. He'll probably be here next service. But thank you, Tyler, for that. And this week, I'm going to continue in John 17. So I'm very excited. I know it's Memorial Day weekend and people travel, so we don't have quite the number of people that we normally do. And the only thing that bothers me is I've got something I want us to hear as a church. So you're going to have to really catch on to what I'm saying this morning and put it into practice. That's my desire. So let me tell you a little bit about my hip surgery that almost wasn't, but is now scheduled for this Wednesday. Okay? And I want to tell you why I considered in Myrtle Beach canceling the surgery. Actually considered that. Because it stopped hurting, my hip. My hip has been hurting for, off and on for 5 years. The last 18 months, it's been getting worse and worse. And when my son got married about 6 weeks ago, it was so bad, it was really funny. I'd wake up in the middle of the night screaming and then laugh. Because I figured this out. I think I've told you this. If I haven't, I want you to hear it. Pain is not so bad. Pain is actually a reminder. This hip pain, to me, has been a reminder of how good I usually have it. And here's the amazing thing. The Lord put that on my heart, and I decided I'm not going to complain about my hip. I'm going to laugh about it. And all its power was gone. So it hurt. It wasn't that big a deal. And I'm so grateful that there are surgeries that can correct this. And I'm in a position that I can actually have the surgery and pay for it. I have insurance, but you pay a lot, with deductibles. But I'm so grateful. But here's what happened on the vacation. It stopped hurting. And I was like, what in the world is going on? And I think, so I'm trying to, I'm always trying to figure things out. I'm trying to figure out why, what was I doing in Texas that I'm not doing now? It's not golf, okay? Because, I couldn't figure it out. I was like, what is it that I started, I was doing in Texas, causing it to hurt. Now I'm here in Myrtle Beach, and it stopped hurting. I forgot it even hurt. And that's the first time that's happened. For about 2 days, I didn't even have any pain at all. And on the way, I got picked up at the airport by Tyler, and I told him, and I said, Tyler, I said, I don't know what it is. I stopped. Oh, and I called the hospital from Myrtle Beach. And I was thinking about canceling the surgery, but then I hung up before they answered. You know, they put me on hold, and I said, I better hang up. What am I doing here? And Tyler said, Joe, it's the hot tub. We're driving home from the airport. He said, it's the hot tub. I said, what? What are you talking about? He said, the hot tub, the heat. You go in the hot tub every night. That's right. And in the middle of the night is when my hip hurts the worst. He said, the heat of the hot tub is causing it to get inflamed. And you weren't, did you use a hot tub in Myrtle Beach? No, I couldn't find one. I looked like crazy to find the hot tub, couldn't find one. He said, that's why it stopped hurting. How ironic, okay, that the very, now, I'm really glad I didn't cancel the surgery because there is no way I'm giving up my prayer time in the hot tub. So it's like, bring on the surgery, okay? So I just thought that was kind of funny. And by the way, Sandy Decker, she should be here in the second service. She is having I'm having my left hip replaced. She's having her right hip replaced. Same day, same hospital, same doctor, okay? And mine is at 9:45. Hers is, I think, 2:45. And she texted me when I told her. She says, well, he's going to warm up on you, okay? So keep us in your prayers. Wednesday, we both go in for surgery. But I want to tell you that seriously, if stopping going in the hot tub would make my hip stop hurting, I'd still get the surgery. Because I'm not giving up my time in the hot tub because that is the time that I best, it's not the only time and place I pray, but is the time that I best connect with God. And I'd rather have this, I'm not looking forward to them. I watched the video of what's going to happen. I know I'm going to be sleeping through most of it. But it's not something I want to do, but I'm more than happy to do it so I can get back in the hot tub as soon as possible because prayer is a vital part of the spiritual life of a believer, and it is a vital part of my life, and I'm not willing to give that up for anything at all. Now, Jesus taught us to pray with the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, it's our Father. He said, pray. They said, how do we pray? He said, pray then in this way, and he told us how to pray. But in John 17, Jesus isn't telling us how to pray. He is praying. John 17 is a recording of a prayer that Jesus prayed and John, the writer of the Gospel of John, heard. He heard him pray because he prayed it out loud and God recorded this for us so we can actually get a glimpse of Jesus as he prayed first for himself, then for his disciples, and believe it or not, then for you and me. He actually did, and you're going to see that in a second. So this is a record of Jesus's prayer, which took place just before he went to the cross and was recorded for us by John. So you ready for this? John 17, verse 1, and it begins, Jesus prays for himself. It says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, and he spoke out loud because John heard him, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Now, throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus was constantly saying things like, my hour has not yet come, my hour has not yet come, but now he's getting closer and closer to the hour having come. And he knew it was time, the hour having come was the time for Jesus to give his life. And Jesus asked God to glorify him, that is, to sustain him in what he was about to face as he prepared to suffer and die on the cross. So Jesus says, God, give me strength to go through what you've called me to go through. It's an interesting thing. As we pray for ourselves. What we normally pray when we pray for ourselves is, God, take this uncomfortable situation away. But Jesus, when he prayed, he said, Lord, sustain me. Let me glorify you through what I'm about to suffer. Verse 2. He says, since you have given him, he's speaking of himself, since you've given me authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Jesus knew his death and resurrection would bring eternal life to the world. So Jesus said, God, sustain me, give me the strength to go through this hour of suffering and darkness and even separation from you, my Father. Verse 3. He says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So as Jesus prayed, he was acknowledging to God the things that were true. Eternal life is that people may know God and know Jesus Christ, the one, the sent one of God. Verse 4. I glorified you on earth. Jesus is speaking to his Father. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Some deep theology there. First, Jesus reminds God that Jesus says, God, my Father, I've glorified you in my time on earth. I did the job that you gave me to do. And he's saying now at the end of his earthly life, he could say to his Father that he gave his all to do his will. I'm going in for this surgery. It's in my head a little bit, I'll be honest with you. I've been thinking on it a little bit, and, you know, I'm better now, but I was getting a little stressed last week as I was going to the appointments and everything else. But it makes me think, it's like someday I'm going to be probably in a hospital, and I'm going to be about to die. You know, maybe, hopefully it's a while down the road. Okay, but I just want to be able to say in those moments, God, I gave you my all. Now, I didn't have to do what Jesus did, okay? Because I'm not the Savior and I'm not God, but I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And at the end of my life, I can't wait. I just hope and pray that I can say to God, God, I did my best. Now, for Jesus, his best was perfect. Mine's not going to be perfect, but my best can be my best, and so can yours. And that's how we should live our lives, saying, God, we want to give you our best. Just give you our best. No regrets. By the way, did you see the reference that Jesus made to the fact that he and the Father were together before the world even existed? See, Jesus was God. He always listened. It says, I love it, the end of verse 5. He says, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. See, when Jesus came to earth, the incarnation, when he became a man, Christmas, when he laid aside his glory and he became a man. He didn't lay aside the fact that he was God, but he laid aside his glory as God. And he says, God, I'm really looking forward to having that glory again, because I had that glory before the world even existed. It's pretty cool. Now, here's the deal, guys. There's a lot more of chapter 17. If you have your Bible, take a look. I'm counting 26 verses. We only did 5. He's done praying for himself. Jesus is done. Now he begins to pray for others. Okay? Now Jesus prays for his disciples. Not for the world, for his disciples. Verse 6. Jesus says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, I believe he's speaking specifically of the disciples, but also to all of the followers, the early believers of Jesus Christ, the ones that followed him before he even died and rose again. Verse 7, he goes on. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. Jesus was very interested in the Father knowing that the disciples had followed Jesus. Now, this is really interesting. Hang with me for a second. And he wanted the disciples to know that Jesus and the Father were a team. They were working in tandem. And that Jesus was the sent one from God the Father. Now, so he's saying, God, I want you to know the ones that you gave me that followed me, they followed my words. I told them what you told me to tell them, and they followed me. Now, hang on a second. If you've been with me for most of these 17 weeks, we've constantly been looking at situations where the disciples messed up. Correct? We've been laughing at them, also saying we would have probably done the same thing. But they constantly were messing up. They didn't get things right. Peter was trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross. They couldn't figure things out. And yet Jesus, in his grace, says, listen, I know, God, they are a mess. But listen, they followed me. And they followed your words. And listen to what you think that you're a loser because you're not doing this perfectly. We can't do it perfectly. We're not supposed to do it perfectly. We do the best we can. And Jesus is there saying, hey, God, man, they tried. And I'm proud of them. If you're sitting here this morning and you think God's disappointed in you, look at his prayer. He was proud of them. He's proud of us. He's proud of us. He's proud of us because we give it our best shot. Verse 9. That'll continue here. Okay. It says, I am praying for them, the disciples. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus' prayer here focuses on the disciples whom his Father had given to him. Now hang with me. Verse 10. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in those disciples. And I'm praying for them because I'm banking it all on them. God, your plan was that we would you'd send me, and I would hand it over to them, and even though they looked and acted like losers and made lots of mistakes just like you and me, I'm betting the ranch on them. Verse 10. Verse 11, rather. Jesus says, I am no longer in the world. Now he's speaking, he's about to leave the world. But they are in the world. They were staying. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name. I shepherded them. Remember, Jesus is the good shepherd? I shepherded them. I kept them. In your name, which you have given me, I have guarded them. This is a shepherd. This is Jesus. And not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now Jesus is talking to his Father, I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus had fulfilled his purpose, or was actually just about to. And he was leaving the world, but the disciples were staying. They were remaining in the world, and now they had to fulfill their purpose. Their purpose was to carry on the work and bring the gospel to the world. Jesus had done his best, and believe me, his best is perfect, to care for those God had given him. Now he prayed that they would be one with the Father and the Son, and though they had much work to do in a very hostile world, that they would have joy as they did God's work. This is what Jesus prayed right at the end. Verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you may keep them from the evil one. Jesus gave them all they needed, his word, himself, and they were about to receive the Holy Spirit. And Jesus did not pray to take them out of the world. He prayed that they would be kept from the schemes of the evil one, from evil itself. Verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Verse 18. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Jesus was the sent one of God. And now Jesus, the sent one, was sending them to take the gospel to the world. Verse 19. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. As Jesus lived a holy and set apart life, his disciples were also to live that kind of life. Now, I want to take a break for a second from the scriptures, and I want to help you to apply this. And I want to get even better at applying this. Because Jesus, this is called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. A priest is someone who mediates, who stands in between the person and God. And Jesus is our high priest. When we come to God, the only reason God listens to us is because we come in the name of Jesus. Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, provided a way for us to have access to God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is praying this priestly type prayer for those that are under his care and his authority. The ones most under his care and authority were the 12. One of them turned on Jesus, betrayed Jesus. So there were the 11, and these are the ones that he was praying for. Now, here's what I want to encourage you to begin doing, starting now. I want you to begin becoming the priest for those whom God has placed under your care. I want you to play that role, and I'm going to tell you about mine, and listen to me. I'm going to share with you the way I pray and the people I pray for. And I'm going to demonstrate it to you in a way that you're going to say, wow, Joe really gives himself to this. Well, I give myself this because this is what I do, okay? So I should be giving myself to this. But I want you to begin, okay? I want to start by I pray for my family every single day. For Christopher and Kelsey. For Brianna. For JoJo. And then for my wife. Every single day. At least once a day. And sometimes more. But I pray for them. Then I pray for the leaders in this church. And I pray for them and their families. So I want to go through this with you. It's going to sound boring, but there's a point I'm going to try and make, and it'll come clear in a second. So I start with the elders. I pray for Dave Winchester and for Julie and for Daniel and Joshua and Sarah, their children. And then I pray for Mark Hester and Connie, his wife. And then I pray for Jenna and Clifton, and then for Brooke, their daughter, and then for Kellen and her boyfriend. I don't know his name. I forget his name. And then I pray for Greg Mulkey and Stephanie Mulkey and Holton and Brittany, his girlfriend. And then I pray for Steve Pfaffengut and for Rosemary and for their children. I pray for James and Max and Jack. James is his son. Max and Jack are his children. And then I pray for Ryan and Christy, and I pray for Wesley and Celia. And then I pray for Steve Walraven and his wife Kim, and then for Catherine and Brian, his daughter and her husband, and then for Megan. And then I begin to go through our staff, and I pray for Edith and Orville and their son, their son Gareth and his wife Leslie, and then for little Gareth, and for Karen. Now hang on, I know it's boring you, but just hang with me, okay? And then I pray for their other son, Kevin, and his wife, Deborah, and Samantha, and I always forget Samantha's husband's name. Is it Jonathan? Robert, just Robert, okay. It's Robert, and then I pray for Logan, their son. And I go by office, and then I go to Gino, and I pray for Gino and Val, and then I pray for Alicia and Steven, and I pray for their two children, Mackenzie and Mia, and then for Teresa and Gaba, and then for Rhea and Niam, and then I pray for Jonathan and Caitlin. Okay. And then I move into the youth office and I pray for Travis and Tasha and Josiah and the child that's on the way. And then I have a new person I get to pray for. I pray for Brock and his wife Dominique and their children. And this was a little tough because these, and Savion and Sanaya, and then he gave me Chloe, and that's an easy one, okay? And then I pray for Parker, okay? And then I move into the other office, Tyler, who Tyler has become my right hand, maybe my left, whichever is more, his hands are maybe more important than mine, okay? But I pray for Tyler and his wife, Dee, and for Ellie, and Oh, I know her. No, don't tell me. I know her really well. For, oh my gosh, I know her so well. AZ, for little AZ and for Wyatt. Now again, I'm not perfect, okay? But I know these people. And then I pray for Diana, and for her husband, Mark, and then for Catherine, and for Daniel, okay? So then we're out of that place, and then I come right in here, and I pray for Tanya, and now for Sean, and then Garrett and Aiden, and then Brenna and Becca and Nathan, okay? And then I pray for Josh, who's in the sound, and I pray for Josh and Becca, and their two children, Amelia and Adrian. I always think of Rocky. Adrian, got it, man. Okay? And then I pray for Chris Rose. Okay, and then I pray now because Harley is going to be taking Chris's position, and he's kind of already started. I pray for Harley and his wife Alicia and their three kids. It's Cayman and Cassidy and Cameron. And then I leave this room and I go down there to the Mother's Day out, and I pray again for Dee, but I don't have to pray for the children because I already got that covered. And I pray for Beck, and I already got that covered because their spouses are here. And then I go over to the children's office, and I pray for Doug. Now this is a tough one, because I don't have those names. I've never really met most of them. And I pray for his daughter and her husband in Ohio that have 12 children. I can't do that. I'm not. Jesus can do that. I can't do that. And then I pray for his son in Michigan, Brandon. I know that name. And he has two children. And then I pray for his daughter that lives down by the border of Mexico. They're in the military, and she's pregnant, and his two daughters that live with him, and then the four foster kids that he's taking care of. And then I pray for Lily and her boyfriend, Jared. And then I pray for Teresa, even though she's a volunteer, to me, she does amazing. I pray for Teresa, and I pray for her husband, Stuart, and for the daughter, Felicia, and David, her husband, and David, their son. David used to be in my youth group. And then I pray for Kalea, her daughter. And then I pray for some of our volunteer leaders, and I pray for Rick and Dee Dee, and then I pray for Mackenzie and for Joe, and then I pray for Kendall, and then Abby, and then little Reagan, and then I pray for Sarah, who runs our women's ministry, and I pray for her husband, Paul, and her kids, you get prayed for twice, Shelby and Parker. And I just realized this. Brandon, where are you? I've been looking at you. I need to start praying for you and Joe and your families. And I will start to do that because of our safety team. Guys, and then on Thursday night, I'm not going to go through that. I pray for my entire extended family. All my brothers, sisters, Tony's brothers, sisters, all of their children and their children. And at the wedding, I'm discovering, the wedding I went to this week, I'm discovering some of them have come to know Jesus Christ. But now listen, if you think that I'm trying to impress you with what I just did, you don't understand my heart. Because I'm really not interested in impressing anyone. You all know that I'm just like you. You all know that, you know, all of my struggles. What I'm telling you is, I understand my role as a priest. I'm a pastor. Listen, I have a lot more spare time than all of you. I should be praying. I should be praying. But if I didn't know their names, how could I pray for them? And here's what I want this to transfer. Starting today, everyone, I want you to begin. You may have to make a list. Make a list of those that are under your care and start being a priest or a priestess. Make a list. Tanya, you have a worship team. Their name should be mentioned to the Lord on a regular basis. On a regular basis. Brock, you have a young adults group. You got to make that list. And in fact, I don't know if I'll do this. I say I'll do it, I'll forget because I forget details, okay? But I'd like you to give me a list. But I don't want to force you to pray. but I want them prayed for. I want them prayed. Tyler, you have most of the church under you, okay? But you're going to do like Jesus did. Jesus didn't pray for the whole world. He prayed for his leaders. Tyler, you got to, you know, Tyler, I pray for you a lot. Why? Because you're so valuable. And you see, I want you to be a priest. And we all pray. We all pray. Arthur, these guys, I know you're doing it, but do it. But I know you are. But I hope you are. But I'm sure you are. You got to pray every day. Them every single day. And you have children. Listen, you start with your wife. You start with your children. Women, you start with your husband. You pray for your children. And you do it on a regular basis. And now we are acting like Jesus. Because that's what he did. Okay? So one more thing we got to talk about. And because there's a couple of more verses. Because Jesus first prayed for himself, real short. Then he prayed for those he was leaving the job to. Those that he was given that were his leaders. And then he prayed concerning us. Jesus prayed. Paige, he prayed for you. Did I get it right? Paige or Emma? I got it. I'm really trying, but okay, got it. He prayed for you. Did you know that? Jesus did. Okay. Steve, he prayed for you. Ellen, he prayed for you. Steve, for you. He prayed for every. Listen, let's look at this. Verse 20. Okay. Jesus said, I do not ask for these only. I'm not just praying for the disciples. I do not ask for these only, but also, we'll wait till that goes off. Okay, got it. Okay, it's okay. It's no problem. Don't worry. We're a family. Don't worry. It's good. Oh, I forgot two people I pray for. I pray for Glennis and for Keith. Oh, yeah, I don't care. As the staff, because they do facility stuff. And I pray for you and for Keith. I'm sorry. I forgot that, but I don't forget you when I'm praying. Okay. Okay, so Jesus says, Lord, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. It's amazing. He's praying for the ones, the future believers in Jesus Christ. Here he was praying for all of us who would someday believe in him, that through the words and works of the disciples and those that would follow, and that's us. That's us. Let's see what he says. What does he pray for us? Verse 21, that they may all be one. That's what Jesus prayed for future believers. He prayed for unity in the body of Christ. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world, here's why he wanted us to be united, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is some powerful prayer. Jesus prayed that we, his people, would be unified, would be one with the Father and with the Son and with each other. And in so doing, the world would know that Jesus was sent by God. Unity among believers helps people believe that Jesus is the sent one, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Is this important? Duh! It's important. Verse 22. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. When we as Jesus' disciples, we're given God's glory to bring to the world. When we work in unity as the body of Christ, when we're perfectly one, the world, they know that Jesus is the Savior. Last couple of verses. Verse 24, and then I want to apply this, and then I'm done. Verse 24, he's praying. Jesus is praying, okay? Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known as he goes to the cross, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The beauty of God's nature is seen in this unity. Unity is very much in the heart of God for his people. I want to make an application to you for this, because we don't have control over the body of Christ is everywhere. There's only, you hear me say this all the time, there's only one what? Only one church. We just meet in different places. You've been hearing me say that for 18 years, okay? Those of you that are here for 18 years, I've been saying that, and that's the truth, and this is the scripture that most caused me to get on that bandwagon, okay? The church of Jesus Christ needs to be unified so people know that Jesus was sent by God as the Savior of the world. So how do we express that? I can't control. I try. I go to a weekly prayer meeting for pastors. There's five of us. But guess what? Us five, it's me and a bunch of young guys. I love that, though. They're all young church planters, and I'm meeting with them. It's like, wow, and I get to tell them all kinds of things. You know what I told them this week? I said, guys, I just give them little tidbits of wisdom because I don't want to admit it, but I'm older. I have experience. I said, guys, I'm going to tell you something that God told me a while ago. He said, Joe, I may be your father, but I'm also your father-in-law because you married my daughter. And they were just like, oh. And I said, and he never told that to Tony. So I don't think he considers her his daughter-in-law, okay, because I'm supposed to take care of her. Just little things. But we have unity there. Okay, but let me tell you a way that God has given for us, Crossroads Arlington Church, to be unified in the body. We allow other churches to use our facilities. And in so doing, we participate in the planting of churches. Now, I told you we had some sound problems. It was all Sukkot Shalom's fault. And Tyler, I don't know if you've heard about it yet. And we'll work it out and we'll fix it, but here's the deal. So that's it. They can't meet in here anymore. Were you crazy? I was there yesterday. You need to come on some Saturday and just put some time aside. I'd say get here at 12:45 and plan to stay till 2:30-ish. And that's you missing the whole beginning and the whole end, okay? But they are so overwhelmed. There were as many people as are here in that service. And they are on fire for God. They are so grateful that we've done what we've done. And I told them, I said, listen, I had them all say 1, 2, 3 together. Say thank you. 1, 2, 3, thank you. They all said thank you. And I said, now don't tell me anymore. Okay, we know you're thankful. I said, just make sure that you pass this on. Just make sure that you do for others what's been done for you. Because I told them, all we're doing is living as mere Christians and following in the Lord's steps. Why wouldn't we? We don't charge them. An Authentic City meets here. We don't charge them. Now, here's the deal. They have to use the place responsibly. There were some glitches, and we will fix that. And Tyler, you have my full blessing to make sure it's fixed, even if we have to hire one of our people, have them pay for one of our people to be here. But here's the deal. The expression of unity, you have no idea how wonderful this is. They have a church that they were busting out of the church they were renting. And now they have a place to grow. They just said, Joe, they just hugging me, hugging all the different people, hugging me. Why do we do that? Because we want to, listen. Jesus prayed that we'd be one. But the answer to that prayer, we don't have to say, God, make us one. We answer his prayer by being one, by being united, by recognizing this one church, by loving each other. Listen, by in this church, not allowing disharmony to disrupt the work of God. Someone offends you, that's great. It happens all the time. Most of the times, it's probably me, okay? We love and forgive each other. We don't push things under the rug. We confront in love, and we overcome our obstacles, so we stay united. Why? Because I want to be able to say, Jesus, I did my best to answer that prayer. And I help my congregation too as well. So we can do this together. We're going to be patient with the churches. Listen, Authentic City, they're perfect now, but forget it. They drove us crazy in the beginning. Is it worth dealing with some of the frustration, but answering Jesus' prayer? What do you think? So we work it out. We work through it. And I believe God will help us to answer that prayer. But we have to choose to do it. So here's what I want to do. I want you to make a commitment. Tanya, are you going to do a song? Yeah, you usually do. By the way, you do a great, come on up. By the way, Tanya, you are an amazing, amazing worship leader. Just amazing. I mean, we are so fortunate to have you here, and it's amazing. So what I want to do is I'm gonna close in prayer, and we're gonna take the offering, guys. We'll come forward and take the offering, get that out of the way. And then I want to just sing that song a little longer, and I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to make a commitment that you are going to live like, will the unity stuff, we're going to lead the way on that as a church, okay? But I want you to Jim, you fell? He fell. Jim Northcutt is on the ground. Are you okay?
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Yeah, they're faulty. That's a faulty chair. Sean, remove that chair. Put it in the garbage. That's the fault of the chair. So here's what I want you to do. We'll take the offering. We'll sing a song. And then I want to ask you to make a commitment that you are going to begin daily praying for those whose God's placed under you, around you. If you have a business, your workers. Of course, your family. If you're in a ministry and you're doing those people, but you can decide who they are. And I want you to commit that you're going to pray for them daily. You're going to be the priest, and you're going to pray for those God's given to you. If you want to come forward and consecrate yourself and really make it a commitment to the Lord, do that. You can do it from your seat. You can stand. You do any way you want. But feel free to come forward after the offering's taken to do that, to demonstrate that this is something you actually do. Let me pray. Lord, we come before you. And what a humbling experience to get to hear your prayer. Thank you, Lord. And we want to be like you. So help us to learn to pray like you did. When it comes to our lives, that we'll be faithful and that you'll sustain us and give us the strength to do whatever it is you call us to do. When it comes to those you've placed around us, that we cover them with prayer. And when it comes to how we relate in the body of Christ, that we would seek in every way to be united and to be perfectly one. Would you help us to do these things? In Jesus' name, amen.